Radio Krishna presents stories about Lord Krishna from the book Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Derived from the Vedic scripture, the Srimad Bhagavatam, they were written in Sanskrit several thousand years ago by Srila Dwaipayana Vyasadeva and were translated into English by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Your narrator is Amala Bhaktidas. Now, today's episode, entitled Usha and Aniruddha, and Lord Krishna Fights Banasura. About 5,000 years ago in India, in the city of Shonitapur, there lived a very heroic king named Banasura. Being the son of the famous King Bali, he was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, always ready to render service to him. Because of his devotion, he achieved a great position in society, and he was honored in every respect. Actually, he was very intelligent and liberal, and his activities were all praiseworthy, because he never deviated from his promise or word of honor, and he was very truthful. By the grace of Lord Shiva, Banasura had received the boon of 1,000 arms, and he became so powerful that even the highest demigods, like Indra, the king of heaven, were serving him obediently. One day, Banasura came to offer his respects to Lord Shiva by bowing down to him. As he did, he said, "My dear Lord, you have given me 1,000 arms, but I do not know what to do with them. Please pardon me, but it appears that I cannot find anyone competent enough to fight with me except your lordship. Sometimes I feel a great tendency to fight with my arms, and I go out to find a suitable warrior. Unfortunately, everyone flees, knowing my extraordinary power. Being baffled at not finding a match, I simply satisfy the itching of my arms by beating them against the mountains. In this way, I tear many great mountains to pieces." Lord Shiva realized that his benediction had become troublesome for Banasura, so he said, "You rascal, you are very eager to fight, but since you have no one to fight with, you are distressed. Although you think that there is no one in the world to oppose you except me, I say that you will eventually find such a competent person. At that time, your flag of victory will no longer fly, and your false prestige will be smashed to pieces." Banasura then returned home with immense pleasure and kept waiting for that great fighter to arrive. Banasura had a very beautiful daughter whose name was Usha. When she had attained the age of marriage and was sleeping amongst her many girlfriends, she dreamt one night that Lord Krishna's grandson, Aniruddha, was by her side and that she was enjoying a conjugal relationship with him, although she had never actually seen him nor heard of him before. She awoke from her dream exclaiming very loudly, "My dear beloved, where are you?" Being exposed to her other friends in this way, she became somewhat ashamed. One of Usha's girlfriends was Chitralekha, who was the daughter of Banasura's prime minister. Chitralekha and Usha were intimate friends, and out of great curiosity, Chitralekha asked, "My dear beautiful princess, as of yet you are not married to any young boy, nor have you seen any boys until now, so I am surprised by what you just exclaimed. Who are you looking for? Who is your suitable match?" Usha replied, "My dear friend, in my dream I saw a nice young man who was very, very beautiful. His complexion was swarthy, his eyes just like lotus petals, and he was dressed in yellow garments. His arms were very long, and his general bodily features were so pleasing that any young girl would be attracted. I feel much pride in saying that this beautiful young man was kissing me. and I was very much enjoying the nectar of his kissing. I'm sorry to inform you that just after this, he disappeared, and I have been thrown into a whirlpool of disappointment. My dear friend, I'm very anxious to find this wonderful young man, the desired lord of my heart. After hearing Usha's words, Chitralekha immediately replied, "I can understand your bereavement, and I assure you that if this boy is within these three worlds, the upper, middle, or lower planetary systems, I shall find him for your satisfaction. Now, let me draw some pictures for you to inspect, and as soon as you recognize the picture of your desired husband, you let me know. It doesn't matter where he is. I know the art of bringing him here. So, as soon as you identify him, I shall immediately do it." Chitralekha began to draw many pictures of the demigods, then pictures of other beings including humans, such as Vasudeva, the father of Krishna, Surasena, the grandfather of Krishna, Sri Balaram, Lord Krishna's brother, Lord Krishna himself, and many others. When Usha saw the picture of Krishna's son Pradyumna, she became a little bashful. But when she saw the picture of Aniruddha, Pradyumna's son, she became so bashful that she immediately lowered her head and smiled. Having found the man she was seeking, she confirmed this to Chitralekha. Chitralekha was a great mystic yogini. As soon as Usha identified Aniruddha, although neither she nor Chitralekha had ever seen him or knew his name, Chitralekha could immediately understand that the picture was that of Aniruddha, a grandson of Krishna. That very night she traveled in outer space and within a very short time reached the city of Dwarka, which was well protected by Krishna. She entered the palace and found Aniruddha sleeping in his bedroom on a very opulent bed. Chitralekha, by her mystic power, immediately brought Aniruddha in that sleeping condition to Usha's palace apartment in Shonitapur. Usha immediately bloomed in happiness and began to enjoy the company of Aniruddha with great satisfaction. The palace in which Usha and Chitralekha lived was so well fortified that it was impossible for any male to either enter or see inside. Usha and Aniruddha thereafter lived together in the palace, and day after day the love of Usha for Aniruddha grew 4 times upon 4 times. Usha pleased Aniruddha with her valuable dresses, flowers, garlands, scents, and incense. By his bedside sitting place were other paraphernalia for residential purposes, nice drinks such as milk and sherbet, and nice edibles which could be chewed or swallowed. Above all, she pleased him with sweet words and very obliging service. Usha worshipped Aniruddha as if he were Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By her excellent service, Usha made Aniruddha forget all other things and drew his attention and love to herself exclusively. In this atmosphere, Aniruddha practically forgot himself and could not recall how many days he had been away from his actual home. In due course of time, Usha became manifestly pregnant. The palace housekeeper and watchman then saw that she must have been having relations with a male friend, so they immediately informed their master, Banasura. In Vedic culture, when an unmarried girl had relations with a male, that was the greatest disgrace to her family. The servants informed their master that they were not at all neglectful in guarding Usha's quarters from any young man who might enter, so they were surprised and baffled that she had become contaminated. Banasura was shocked to learn that his daughter was no longer a virgin. He therefore rushed to Usha's apartment, entered it, and saw her and Aniruddha sitting together, playing and talking. They looked very beautiful, certainly a suitable match. Yet for family prestige, he did not like the combination at all. Banasura did not know who the boy actually was, Though he appreciated that Usha could not have selected anyone more beautiful in the three worlds, still he was very angry. Aniruddha was nicely dressed, and Usha had garlanded him with various beautiful flowers. Banasura was struck with wonder that, even in his presence, Aniruddha was peacefully sitting in front of Usha. Not at all pleased by this, Banasura momentarily left, gathered a contingent of soldiers, and then returned with them. When Aniruddha saw them, he grabbed a big iron rod and stood up, threatening to kill them if they attacked. Then, under the order of Banasura, they attempted to arrest him, but Aniruddha struck them with the rod, breaking their heads, legs, arms, and thighs, finally killing them. Then he raced out of the apartment and began to escape from the palace. However, Banasura had knowledge and command of various mystic weapons. One of these was called a Nagapasha, or snake noose. Thus, as Aniruddha was fleeing, Banasura, by an invocation, materialized a snake and then discharged it at him. The snake immediately tied itself around Aniruddha's body from his feet up to his neck, completely immobilizing and capturing him. When Usha saw this, she became overwhelmed with grief and confusion. Tears glided down her cheeks, and she began to wail very loudly. When the 4 months of the rainy season had passed and Aniruddha had not yet returned home, all the members of his family became very anxious. They did not know why he had gone and where he was staying. However, one day the great sage Narada, who had inner knowledge, came and informed the family in detail how Aniruddha had been carried by Chitraleka to the city of Shunitapur, Banasura's capital, and how Banasura had later arrested him with the snake noose. Then the members of the Yadu dynasty, all of whom had great affection for Krishna, prepared to attack Shunitapur. Almost all of the leaders of the family combined and gathered many military divisions into phalanxes. Then they went to Shunitapur and surrounded it with millions of soldiers, elephants, horses, and chariots. Banasura soon heard that the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty were attacking the whole city, tearing down walls, gates, and nearby gardens. Furious, he ordered his soldiers, who were of equal caliber, to confront them. Lord Shiva was so kind to Banasura that he personally came and commanded the military force, assisted by his heroic sons, Kartikeya and Ganapati. Seated on his favorite bull, Nandishvar, Lord Shiva led the fighting against Lord Krishna and Balaram. The fighting was so fierce that those who saw the battle were struck with wonder, and the hairs on their bodies stood up. Lord Shiva fought with Lord Krishna, Pradyumna with Kartikeya, and Lord Balaram with Banasura's commander-in-chief, Kubanda, who was assisted by Kupakarna. Samba, the son of Krishna, battled with the son of Banasura, and Banasura fought with Satyaki, commander-in-chief of the Yadu dynasty. In this way, the war was waged. News of the fighting spread all over the universe. Curious demigods, great sages, and saintly persons came in their airplanes and, hovering over the battlefield, watched intently. Although Lord Shiva was assisted by various kinds of ghosts, goblins, and ghouls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, shot numerous arrows at them, driving them away from the field. Lord Shiva then invoked the Brahmastra weapon, which was as powerful as an atomic bomb, and discharged it at Lord Krishna. But Krishna counteracted it with another Brahmastra. Next, Shiva released a hurricane weapon, but Krishna negated it with a mountain weapon, checking its thrust. Then Shiva discharged his fire weapon, but Krishna neutralized it with a rain weapon, extinguishing the flares. As Shiva continued releasing different weapons, Lord Krishna continued counteracting them. When Lord Shiva became exasperated, Lord Krishna fired his yawning weapon at him. This so fatigued Lord Shiva that he had to stop fighting, because all he could do was continuously yawn. Krishna was now able to turn his attention from Lord Shiva to Banasura's soldiers, and with swords and clubs, he began to kill them. Meanwhile, Lord Krishna's son Pradyumna fought fiercely with Kartikeya, the commander-in-chief of the demigods, and wounded him. Bleeding profusely, Kartikeya left the battlefield and rode away on the back of his peacock carrier. Similarly, Lord Balaram, with his club, smashed Banasura's commander-in-chief, Kubanda, as well as Kupakarna, killing the former and wounding the latter. Having no leader, the remaining soldiers fled in all directions. When Banasura saw that his soldiers and commanders had been routed, his anger only increased. He stopped fighting with Satyaki, Krishna's commander-in-chief, and instead directly attacked Lord Krishna. Now, having the opportunity to use his 1,000 hands, he rushed towards Krishna, simultaneously working 500 bows and 2,000 arrows. But Krishna easily cut each of Banasura's bows into two pieces. And to check him from going further, Krishna shot down his horses, causing Banasura's chariot to break into pieces. After doing this, Krishna blew his conch shell, Panchajanya. There was a demigoddess named Kotara, whom Banasura worshipped, and their relationship was like a mother and a son. Mother Kotara was upset that Banasura's life was in danger, so she appeared on the scene, her body naked and her hair scattered. Krishna disliked the sight of this naked woman, and to avoid seeing her, he turned his face away. Banasura, seeing the chance to escape, raced off the battlefield. The strings of his bows were broken, and he had no chariot or driver, so he had to return to his city. All the associates of Lord Shiva, the goblins and ghosts, being greatly harassed by Lord Krishna's arrows, also fled the battlefield. That left only Lord Shiva, who had just recovered from his yawning attack. He then decided to release his most powerful weapon. It is called the Shivajvara, and it destroys by excessive heat. It is said that at the end of the creation, the sun becomes 12 times hotter than usual. This extra heat is caused by the Shivajvara. When Lord Shiva released the Shivajvara, it was in a personified form, with three heads and three legs. As it zoomed toward Lord Krishna, it appeared to be burning everything in its path into ashes, fire streaking in all directions. When Lord Krishna saw the Shivajvara coming at him, he released his counterweapon, the Narayanajvara. This weapon kills by causing excessive cold. Then there ensued a deadly fight between the two Jvaras, but gradually the Shivajvara's heat began to diminish. It then cried out to Lord Shiva for help, but Lord Shiva could not help it, nor could any of the other demigods. The Shivajvara then realized it was doomed unless it surrendered to Lord Krishna. Therefore, it bowed down before him and offered prayers to obtain protection, saying, "My dear Lord, you are the Lord of everyone. Generally, people consider Lord Shiva to be the most powerful personality in the material world. But Lord Shiva is obviously not all-powerful. You are. I beg to submit that I have been very greatly chastised by the release of your Narayanashvara. It is certainly very cooling, and at the same time, severely dangerous and unbearable. My dear Lord, as long as one is forgetful of Krishna consciousness, driven by the spell of material desires, and ignorant of the ultimate shelter at your lotus feet, one who has accepted a material body becomes disturbed by the miserable conditions of material nature. It is because one does not surrender unto you that he continues to suffer perpetually. After hearing the Shivashvara, Lord Krishna replied, O three-headed one, I am pleased with your statement, so rest assured that you will not have to bear any further suffering from my Narayanashvara. Not only are you now free from this fear, but anyone in the future who simply recollects this fight between you and my Narayanashvara will also be freed from all kinds of fearfulness. After hearing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Shivashvara offered his respectful obeisances unto Krishna's lotus feet and departed. In the meantime, Banasura somehow recovered from his setbacks and, rejuvenated, returned to fight. This time, Banasura appeared before Lord Krishna, who was seated on his chariot with different kinds of weapons in his 1,000 hands. Banasura was very agitated. He began to discharge his different weapons, like torrents of rain, at Lord Krishna's body. When Lord Krishna saw the weapons coming at him, he took his sharp-edged Sudarshan disc, released it, and as it whirled around rapidly, it began cutting off the demon's 1,000 arms as a gardener trims the twigs of a tree, till Banasura had only 4 arms left. When Lord Shiva saw that his devotee, Banasura, could not be saved even in his presence, he came back to his senses and went before Lord Krishna to pacify him by offering the following prayers. My dear Lord, all the demigods, including myself and Lord Brahma, as well as great saintly persons and sages who have cleansed their hearts of materialistic attachment, have, by your grace, wholeheartedly taken shelter of your lotus-like feet. We have all taken shelter of you because we have accepted you as the Supreme Lord and as our dearmost life and soul. You are the original cause of this cosmic manifestation, its supreme maintainer and also its destroyer. You are equally disposed to everyone and the most peaceful friend of all beings. You are the supreme worshipable person for every one of us, my dear Lord. Let us always be engaged in your transcendental loving service, so that we may be liberated from our entanglement in this material world. Lastly, my Lord, this Banasura is very dear to me because he has rendered very valuable service to me. Therefore, I want to see him always happy. Being pleased with him, I have given him the assurance of safety. I pray to you, my Lord, that as you were pleased by his forefathers, King Prahlad and King Bali, you may be pleased with him also. After hearing Lord Shiva's prayer, Lord Krishna said, My dear Lord Shiva, I accept your statements and your desire for Banasura. I know that he is the grandson of King Prahlad, and as such I cannot kill him. I gave the benediction to King Prahlad that all of his descendants would never be killed by me. Therefore I have simply cut off Banasura's arms to deprive him of his false prestige. The large number of soldiers maintaining had become a burden on the earth, and I have killed them to reduce it. Now Banasura has 4 remaining arms, and he will remain immortal, without being affected by the material pains and pleasures. I know that he is one of your chief devotees, so you can now rest assured that he will not have to fear anything. When Banasura was thus benedicted, he came before Lord Krishna and bowed down, placing his head on the ground. Afterwards, he had Aniruddha and Usha, who were seated on a beautiful chariot, brought before the Lord. Lord Krishna then took charge of them and, keeping forward a division of soldiers, proceeded toward his capital, Dwarka. When they arrived there, the city was fully decorated and cleansed, and the citizens welcomed them with pomp and jubilation, accompanied by the sound of drums, bugles, and conch shells. It is said that if one remembers this fight between Lord Krishna and Lord Shiva in the morning, and takes pleasure in the victory of Lord Krishna, he will never experience defeat anywhere in his life struggles. This story was entitled Usha and Aniruddha and Lord Krishna Fights Banasura and was produced by Radio Krishna at the KHQN Studios in Los Angeles, California. It was derived from the book Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder and spiritual guide of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and was adapted for radio by Amala Bhaktidas, your narrator. The engineering and musical selections were under the direction of Vaibhavi Devidasi.